الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we were reading العائق الخامس. العائق الخامس، the fifth obstacle. عدم تدرج في طالب العلم. Not seeking knowledge gradually. Not seeking knowledge gradually. We have seen a number of benefits that the author here mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, and likewise a number of transmissions that he has mentioned from the statements of the Salaf and of the scholars of the previous generation. And in our previous class, it came to an end, and we were reading that which the author he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, from some beneficial statements of Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Umar Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 463, from the great scholars of the Sunnah, and likewise from the great scholars of the Maliki Madhab, min al-Malikiyya. He's from the best of them and from the most well-known of them, and those who had great effort in spreading the knowledge and the fatawa and the jurisprudence and the understanding of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. But along with that, he was not known for blind following absolutely. Rather, he would follow the evidences that are clear in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and likewise benefit from the statements of his Imam as well as the other Imams. But nothing would take precedence over the statement of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is some of the affairs that he was mentioning and the advice that we are reading. So to summarize that which was mentioned in that short portion is that he's advising the student of knowledge. He's advising the student of knowledge first and foremost to have great concern and care for memorizing and learning the fundamentals. Memorizing and learning the fundamentals and striving to understand them properly. And likewise, memorizing the Quran and the Sunnah. And indeed, the Sunnah will help a person to understand the proper meaning that is intended in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla and clarify many of those verses in great detail. So this is a great need for a student of knowledge to realize. And he mentioned likewise that one, he will also benefit from the statements of the scholars, from the fuqaha and their opinions and in their understandings. And likewise, he will benefit from that in understanding as well those rulings, but he will not place any of their statements or positions or opinions to a level where he would blind follow them absolutely, the way that he would restrict himself to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indicating that it is only the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has that specific right that he should be followed absolutely. We have seen that this is from the meaning of Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la matbu'a haqqun illa Rasulullah, that no one has the right to be followed absolutely except for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is what he was clarifying, and this is indeed great advice from him, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he said likewise he would follow the scholars, he would follow their way in memorizing the Sunan and memorizing the narrations and following their footsteps and striving to understand the text and striving to gain a firm foothold in the knowledge and the likes like this. And he mentioned also that the student, he must show thanks. He must show thanks. And he meaning first and foremost to Allah Azza wa Jalla, but after that, showing thanks to the efforts of the scholars and having appreciation and honoring them and respecting them. And especially in the times whenever they were correct and they achieved the truth and that which they mentioned was in accordance with the clear text of the Quran and the Sunnah. A person, he will thank them. He will thank them for this great effort that they have made to clarify the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and shed light on these rulings so a person he can go straight and he can follow the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf upon insight and upon light. So it's from their efforts and from their knowledge and from the barakah that Allah has bestowed upon them that a person he will be guided to understand the correct understanding. So one, he will not neglect that. He will not forget that. He will not belittle the people of knowledge and look down upon them. And the likes like this, brother, he will honor them and respect them and love them in the manner that it is legislated without raising them above the ranks. And he mentioned this likewise as well, and he will not free them from error. He will not deem them free from error, just as he will not deem himself free from error. Meaning that no one is free from error. No one has an isma fid deen illa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one is free from error and is correct absolutely with regards to the issues of the religion except for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the proper and the good way. The point for reviewing this is how he closed the statement. It's how he closed the statement, mentioning these noble traits, mentioning these issues here, and they're clearly affairs of great moderation and high and lofty status, likewise for the one who ponders and strives to obtain them. He says, فَهَذَا هُوَ الطَّالِبُ الْمُتَمَسِّكُ بِمَا عَلَيْهِ السَّلَفُ الصَّالِحِ. He died in the year 463. Listen to his terminology. He died in the year 463. How many years ago? Almost 1,000 years ago. Over 900 years ago. Over 900 years ago. How many? 900 years ago. There was no planes, trains, and automobiles. There's no planes, trains, and automobiles in those days. There's no cell phones in those days. But what was there in those days? There was deed. There was sunnah. There was the manhaj of as-salaf as-salih. And there were students of knowledge traversing upon that way. And there are scholars advising them to traverse upon that way. So the manhaj of as-salaf as-salih is nothing new. This is the point I want to make. Listen to his words again. فَهَذَا هُوَ الطَّالِبُ الْمُتَمَسِّكُ بِمَا عَلَيْهِ السَّلَفُ الصَّالِحِ. This one here, meaning the one with these characteristics, is the student holding fast to what the pious predecessors were upon. The one who has these traits, the one who has these characteristics, he is the student of knowledge who is holding fast to the way of the Salaf al-Salih. And he says, Rahimahullah, وَهُوَ الْمُصِيبُ لِحَظِّهِ وَالْمُعَيِّنُ لِرُشْدِهِ وَالْمُتَّبِعُ لِسُنَّةِ نَبِيهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَهَدِي صَحَابَتِهِ رضي الله عنهم إلى آخره انتهى كلامه. So this one here with these traits that were mentioned previously, he is the student holding fast, and he is the student who is truly holding fast to what the pious predecessors were upon, to what as-salaf as-salih were upon. And he is the one who is obtaining his portion and viewing his right guidance, the one truly following the sunnah of his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the guidance of his companions, radiyallahu anhum, until the end of the quote. So from the benefits of this, we see that This terminology here is not new. The terminology of as-salaf as-salih, the pious predecessors, this is not something that is new. This is something that was used by the previous generations clearly here over 900 years ago. So this methodology, this way of understanding the religion, this is very clear. So this is the student who's holding on to the way of the pious predecessors. And then he says, the one who is observing clearly and holding fast to the sunnah of his prophet and the guidance of his companions. And this is the way of the Salaf al-Salih, the one who was holding fast to the sunnah of his prophet, following restrictedly the guidance of his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is, and the scholars of hadith after them, this is the way of the Salaf al-Salih. So this madhab, this manhaj, is well known and traversed upon ever since the death of the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what the companions they were upon, and this is what they taught their students after them from the tabi'een, and this is what they were upon, and this is what they taught their students after them from the atba' tabi'een, and this is what they were upon, and that's what they taught their students after them from tabi'ul atba' tabi'een, and that's what they were upon, until in these generations or in the end of these generations the fitnah started to occur and started to spread, and then the deviation entered in the creed and the methodology, and the khawarij appeared, and the Mu'tazila appeared, and the Qadariya appeared, and the Murji'a appeared, and the likes like this, and the Jahmiya appeared, and then the deviation began to spread and to spread, and trials came into the Ummah. So this generation here of these three, these three noble generations here, these are the praiseworthy generations, and they're the Salaf al-Salih, and their religion is the good religion, and this is something that is well known. It's nothing new. Manhaj al-Salafi is not new. Al-Aqidah Salafiyah is not new. This is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the proper way. This is the proper understanding. Even if we look into the books of hadith, barakallahu fikum, into the biographies of the Salaf, you will find people way before Ibn Abd al-Barr, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died again in when? 463. We'll find individuals from those generations. They're using the same terminology. From this, I have a beautiful example from Abu Amr, Abdurrahman ibn Amr al-Awza'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam al-Sham fi asri. He's the Imam of al-Sham in his time, al-Awza'i. He's very well known. He died in the year 157. So he's from the Atba' Tabi'in. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. A very famous statement. Many of us have heard it before. But now what we want to learn from it, or to take note with regards to, is this terminology being used on their tongues, on the tongues of the scholars of hadith from the earliest generations. It's nothing new. So he said, Rahimahullah, his name is Abu Amr, Abdurrahman ibn Amr al-Awza'i, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the greatest imams of the Sunnah. From the greatest imams of the Sunnah, he died in the year 157. He said, Isbiru nafsaka ala sunnah. Make yourself patient upon the Sunnah. Waqif haythu waqaf al-qawm. And stop where the people stopped. Meaning, the companions. Stop where they stopped. Don't go beyond. Don't speak about issues they did not speak about. Don't perform actions of worship they did not perform. Take them as a role model and stop where they stop. Hold fast to the Sunnah and stop where they stop. وَقِفْ حَيْثُ وَقَفِ الْقَوْمِ وَقُولْ بِمَا قَالُوا And you say what they said. You say what they said. They said Allah is above the throne and His majesty. You say Allah is above the throne and His majesty. Whatever they said, then you say in the affairs of their religion. وَكُفَّ عَمَّا كَفُّ عَنْهُ And be silent and refrain and leave off what they left off. And you don't delve into the affairs they did not delve into from their religious affairs. وَسْلُكْ سَبِيلَ سَلَفِكَ الصَّالِحِ And traverse the path of your pious predecessors. And this is the shahid. Wasluk sabila sarafika sadeh. And you must traverse the path of your pious predecessors. Fa'innahu yasa'uka ma wasi'ahum. Because in indeed, that which suffice them will suffice you. You suffice in following them. In the affairs of the religion, and the affairs of creed, and the affairs of deen, and the affairs of iman, and the affairs of faith, and the affairs of belief, and the affairs of worship, and drawing near to Allah, and the affairs of halal and haram, and the rulings of the religion, and the affairs of contracts and dealings, and the affairs of the legislative manners and conduct, and the way one he will move and carry himself, suffice what they were upon. Their way will suffice you. You don't need anything new. You don't need anything new. But the point is here, he died in 157, and he's advising those in his time, wasluk sabila sarifika sari. And you must traverse the path of your pious predecessors. Yani as-salaf as-sari. So this terminology is well known. Well known, nothing new. This is well known. He died in 157. And this is at the end, the end of the generation of the Tabi'een is 150. And the furthest it will go is 150. After that is this is the time for the Atba' Tabi'een. So this is in the middle of the early generations. This is in the middle of the early generations. And Al-Uzayy rahimahullah ta'ala, great imam from the Sunnah. So the point is again, that this terminology, it became used and well known and understood and accepted from an early generation. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let them say, As-Salafi is Dinun Jadid. Ja'a bihi Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Rahimahullah. That's what they try to say, some of them. Or some of them, they'll say, even go back, they say Ibn Taymiyyah. Rahimahullah. He's the one who came with the Salafi. This is nothing new. This methodology, this manhaj, understanding al-Islam, the understanding of as-salaf as-salih, this is the deen of Allah. This is the religion of Allah. This is the correct understanding and the correct way, and this is something that has been understood from the first day. From the first day. It's nothing new, alhamdulillah. So this is, in reality, a great benefit, especially in these days when we find the people of these different hizbiyat and jama'at and these different dalalat and people of misguidance and deviation and whims, and from many different aspects, from inside of Islam and outside of Islam, trying to corrupt the creed and the people and turn them away from the true deen. And in order to do that, they must turn them away from this path in this way, the way of as-salaf as-salih. So the one who wants to be safe in his religion and in his deen and have a high status with his Lord, he must follow their way. Because they were the ones whom Allah is pleased with. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them because of what they were upon from deen. Because of what they were upon from holding fast to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they lived upon that way and died upon that way, and Allah is pleased with them for that. Therefore, if we want Allah to be pleased with us, we must follow their way precisely. سَابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارُ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Either you're going to be from the Muhajirun or you're going to be from the Ansar, which is not possible for us this day, or you want to follow them precisely, بِإِحْسَانٍ. And it be sidqi what it's called, truthfully, inwardly and outwardly, and creed first and foremost, and then in methodology likewise in dealing with the people, also in worship and manners and conduct. Also in worship and manners and conduct. وَاتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ This is the true way. This is the good way. This is what Ibn Abdul Bar was on. This is what Al-Uza'i was on. This is what the scholars of the Salaf were upon. This is what Shaykh al-Islam was upon. This is, and after them, many generations. This is what Ibn Qayyim was upon. This is what Ibn Rajab was upon. And the lies like this. And this is the correct and proper way. This is what Shaykh Ibn Baz was upon. And this is what Shaykh Muqbil was upon. And this is what Shaykh Uthaymeen was upon. And this is what Shaykh al-Albani was upon. Rahimahullah. This is what our Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin is upon. Shaykh Rabi is upon. Shaykh Ubaid was upon. Rahimahullah. This is the case. This is the deen. وَسْلُكْ سَبِيلَ سَلَفِكَ الصَّالِحِ. This is a great benefit. So he says now, وَقَالَ إِبْنُ جَوْزِي رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Ibn Jawzi from the scholars of the Hanabila. He died in the year 597. He says, قَدْ عُلِمَ قِصَرُ الْعُمَرُ وَكَثْرَةُ الْعِلْمُ فَيَبْدَ أي الطالب بالقرآن وحفظه وينظر في تفسيره نظر متوسطا لا يخفى عليك بذلك منه شيء. Ibn Jawzi, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, the fact one's lifespan is short is well known. A person's lifespan is short is well known. Even if he were to live 100 years, his lifespan is short, and this is well known. As well as the abundance of knowledge. As well as the abundance of knowledge. This is something likewise that is well known. I mean, the amount of knowledge, how vast knowledge is. How vast knowledge is. بَحْرٌ لَا سَاحِلَ لَهُ يعني بُحُورٌ زَاخِرَةٌ لا يبلغ الكادح فيه آخرة. This is just vast, vast oceans. The person who strives through it, he will not reach the end. This is the case of the knowledge. We have seen examples of this in our previous class. And likewise, a person's lifespan is short. So he should start, meaning the student, with the Quran, memorizing it and looking into its interpretation in a moderate manner, nothing being hidden from you in that. And now he's clarifying some of the wisdom why a person, he should study in this manner, learning the principles first. Because the knowledge is vast and your life is short. So you take advantage, you learn that which is most, that which takes priority. And then you yourself, you prioritize and you study and learn that which takes preference. And you show precedence to that and you build your knowledge little by little. And then inshallah, much of that ocean, you can cross it in this manner. You can cross it in this manner because the one who learns the foundations and the fundamentals, the rest of the religion returns back to that. Just like all those branches and all those leaves and all those trees and all those branches, all those leaves, all of those fruits on the tree, they all return back to the same asl. They all return back to the same asl. So the one who learns these fundamentals and the one who learns these principles will be able from here. He memorized them and learned them and understood them. From here, he'll be able to understand countless issues without memorizing those issues. But whenever they come, he'll be able to see it, realize it, and know that this issue goes back to this principle. And he'll be able to deal with it in this manner. And he'll be able to deal with it in this manner because he knows the principle. So the one who tried to collect all the leaves in this manner, he's going to spend a lot of time. But the one who has the principle, then all those leaves, they come back here. All those leaves, they come back here. So the one who understood the principle, he can deal with all these affairs. But a person, he grabs a handful of leaves, he only has a handful of leaves. There's a whole tree full of leaves left. You understand my point? So by learning the foundations of the religion, the whole entire religion, after that, all of the different issues, all of the different issues, they return back to these principles. They return back to these principles. So it's going to be so difficult and impossible to memorize every one of these different issues that could occur in your life. In the affairs of the religion, what you're going to go through in one day and one night. But if you learn these fundamentals and these principles, al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya wal-usuliyya wal-aqdiyya and the likes like this, then everything that you face is coming back to them. Everything that you face and you deal with is coming back to them in this manner. So this is going to be a great aid for you in your search for knowledge and in studying and in learning. So he says, rahimahullah, wa in sahha lahu qira'atul qira'at as-sab'ah. وَشَاءُ مِنَ النَّحْوِ وَكُتُبِ اللُّغَةِ وَابْتَدَأَ بِأُصُولِ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ حَيْثُ النَّقْلِ كَالصِّحَاحِ وَالْمَسَانِيدِ وَالسُّنَنِ وَمِنْ حَيْثُ عِلْمُ الْحَدِيثِ كَمَعْرِفَةِ الضُّعَفَاءِ وَالْأَسْمَاءِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ فِي أُصُولِ ذَلِكَ. He said if he learned correctly one of the seven modes of recitation, and he meaning this is good for him, this is what he's advising, learn one of those properly, focus on learning one of those modes that is correct for you, and that is known and recited where you live. That way you'll be able to benefit the people where you live. You learn that one, and that's good for you. And then you move on, and you learn the Arabic grammar. And also you study some of the books of the Arabic language as well until you have a foundation in this. He says he should begin with the fundamentals of the hadith and how it is transmitted, like a sihah, any of the authentic collections, like Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and Sahih ibn Khuzaymah and Sahih ibn Hibban. His books are called a Sihah. He's talking about learning about these these collections, because these narrations here, they're all authentic. And also al-Asanid, yani like Musnad Imam Ahmed and Bazar and Abd ibn Humayd, and other than them, and As-Sunan, these books of As-Sunan, there's books that are called Siha, there's books that are called Masanid, and there's books that are called Sunan, there's books that are called Jawami. These are books of Hadith. He's advised you to learn and to study and to review and go through the likes of these narrations. And from the knowledge of Al-Hadith, knowing the weak narrators and the names of the narrators, so he should look into the fundamentals of this. So he should look into the fundamentals of this. There's a misspelling here. It should say Masanid. It says Al-Asanid, Al-Masanid. You should have a meme, an M there. In the Siha, authentic collections. And Al-Masanid. Al-Masanid in English. The English is incorrect. Wa as-Sunan, and from the knowledge of Al-Hadith, knowing the weak narrators and the names of the narrators, so he should look into the fundamentals of this. And we remember what the author mentioned. He said, I'm going to mention some examples that which the scholars of the previous generations have laid down that you can choose from that. And after getting the advice of your teacher, and after you get it, the advice and the agreement of your teacher over your choice. And he mentioned likewise that these affairs, they differ from time to time and place to place, from time to time and place to place. So these are just examples here. These are just examples here. So he says, وَقَدْ رَتَّبَا الْعُلَمَاءُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مَا يَسْتَغْنِ بِهِ الطَّالِبُ عَنِ التَّعَبِ. And the scholars have arranged that so that the student will not have to wear himself out. Any of the people of knowledge have arranged the sciences and the books that one should study, the sciences one should study, and the books from those sciences that one should study, and how he should move in order to make it easy for the student, in order to make it facilitated for the student, so the student doesn't have to go through a lot of hardship and difficulty figuring out his way through all of these books and different sciences and the likes like this, and going through that headache. So the people of knowledge, they did great favor and benefit for the students of knowledge by facilitating this, by arranging these sciences and arranging the works of these sciences and the topics in this manner in order to follow it in an easy way. In an easy way. So he says, وَلِيَنْظُرْ تَوَارِيخْ لِيَعْرِفَ مَا لَا يَسْتَغْنِ عَنْهُ كَنَسَبِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَأَقَارِبِهِ وَأَزْوَاجِهِ وَمَا جَرَى لَهُ ثم ليقبل على الفقه فلينظر في المذاهب والخلاف وليكون اعتماده على مسائل الخلاف فلينظر في المسألة وما تحتوي عليه فيطلبه من ظانه كتفسير آية وحديث وكلمة لغة ويتشاغل بأصول الفقه وبالفرائض وليعلم أن الفقه عليه مدار العلوم أن الفقه عليه مدار العلوم. Then he should investigate, looking into the history to learn what he must know from the lineage of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We took that yesterday. The one that is muttafaqun alayhi to Adnan, and likewise the one that is summarized in brief. Student of knowledge, he should know the lineage of his Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something a believer, a Muslim, should know that, especially a student of knowledge, beginning with the short one that is easy and summarized. And then after that, memorizing the one back to Adnan. This is something beneficial. The people of knowledge from the time of Ibn Jawzi and before that, they're advising this. This knowledge is carried on in this manner, preserved in this manner, and kept in this manner, and kept and preserved in this manner. And his relatives and his wives, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning about them likewise, learning about the household of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning about the wives of the Prophet, knowing their names, knowing something from their lineage likewise, knowing their relationship, and knowing the uncles of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the cousins of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhum, and the likes like this. All of this is important. And what occurred to him in his life, and learning about the events from the greatest way to have the proper understanding about Islam is to study in detail the authentic seerah of the Prophet. Many people, they misunderstand Islam entirely because they never studied the seerah. The seerah is full of tawheed, it's full of advice, it's full of admonishment, it's full of goodness and piety. It's so beneficial. Studying the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in details from the greatest ways to increase in faith and to increase in iman and to be firm and to increase in love and love for Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is all highly advisable. Highly advisable. He says, then let him devote himself to jurisprudence, yani al-fiqh, And you're learning about the halal and the haram and the rulings, the obligations and the prohibitions and the recommended affairs and that which is disliked and that which is permissible. And this is the rulings about Islam, of the rulings of the actions and the deeds and the contracts. Looking into the positions of the scholars and differences of opinion, let him focus on the issues of differing. And because after learning those fundamentals, there are issues that they all agreed upon. And the rest of the issues, they go back to this. So to know where they differed is of utmost importance so that one will be able to identify the strong position. Because although they differed in these issues, there is a statement that is supported strongly by the evidence. And this is the one that is correct. And this is the one that should be followed regardless of the madhhab. Regardless of the madhab. So one, he will look into this affair and he will look into to their differing, and especially after learning where they agreed and that which is agreed upon, then after that he will learn the foundations and then learn the differences of opinion in order to be firm. It's been narrated from Qatada ibn Di'am al-Sadusi. He's also from the Tabi'in, from the students of Anas radiallahu anhu. He died in the year 117. He said, "Man lam ya'rif al-khilaf lam yashumma ra'ihat al-fiqh." The one who does not know the difference of opinion, he did not smell the scent of fiqh. He did not smell the scent of fiqh, of jurisprudence. And he tell you, learn and study these differences of opinions and these affairs that have occurred. I have to review that, make sure that it's from Qatada. If I remember correctly, he's the one who said it. But no doubt, this is a statement that is well known. مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الْخِلَافِ لَمْ يَشُمَّ رَائِحَةِ الْفِقْهِ. Whoever did not learn the differences of opinions, then he will not even smell the scent of true jurisprudence and fiqh and understanding in the religion. He says, investigate the issue and what it consists of and seek details from the proper places for the subject. So he'll look into the differing, for example, and then after that he'll investigate the issue and then he will seek details from the proper places for the subject. And this means that he must have knowledge of the books, because now if it's a difference of opinion about one subject, he has to know the sciences and the books of that subject and then the books that are authored in that subject and what they're authored for and how to use them, because now he has to research and go back to identify these affairs. So this is what he's referring to. So he's going to, if there's differences of opinions or things that are unclear, now he's going to have to research and he's going to have to look. He's going to have to find these places. So where is he going to find them at? If it's an issue, for example, in Tahara, is he going to go to a book of tafsir? He's going to go into the books of fiqh. He's going to go into al-Mughni. He's going to go to al-Majmu'. He's going to go into these books that are discussing these affairs like this. This is how he's going to deal with this issue. And so he has to know these books and know which one is going to most likely discuss the issue he's searching for, or else he's going to waste a lot of time and he's going to get lost and he's going to get misled. So he says, like the interpretation of a verse and a narration and a linguistic meaning of a word. So to know the interpretation of a verse, that means you have to know the books of a tafsir and the different types of works that are authored with regards to the clarification of the Quran. There's books of tafsir, there's books of gharib, there's books of i'rab, there's books of qira'at, there's books just with regards to the science here. And then likewise the narrations. If you want to find the interpretation of a narration, you have to know these places where it's thought that the likes of this information will be explanations of the different books of hadith and the likes like that, and also the different dictionaries, and also know those works likewise, which one is reliable, which one is not reliable, which one is beneficial, that the scholars have benefited from, although they weren't from certain aspects of that particular book. For example, if you want to study tafsir, there are some tafsir, inshallah, that are free from deviation in aqidah, like in general, like tafsir al-Tabari, and also like tafsir al-Baghawi, and like tafsir al-Sa'di, and like tafsir ibn Kathir. But if you go to some other tafsir, for example, like maybe tafsir al-Qurtubi, which is very beneficial, and it's vast likewise, but if you're not careful, you could be misled because he has some ta'wilat with regards to the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jalla, some interpretations of some of the affairs with the unseen, of the people of knowledge have warned. But likewise, it's Shawkani, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He has a great tafsir, but also he has some ta'wilat of the sifat that is wrong and incorrect, and a person may read that and fall into that. He may read that and fall into that, so because they don't say this is a ta'wil, but they make ta'wil. And whenever a person, he makes ta'wil, he's denying the meaning. So they'll make ta'wil, and they will misinterpret the attribute in order to deny it. You understand that? So the madhab of the Salaf is that we do not deny any of the attributes that Allah has affirmed for himself, or that his prophet has affirmed for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But some of the scholars will try with the likes of this, although their works are still beneficial, they'll warn from the likes of this affair. So the student, he needs to have this type of knowledge. He needs to have this type of knowledge in order to benefit from this affair. So this is going to go back to before. Where is he going to get this knowledge from? Huh? From the teacher. He's going to get the likes of this knowledge from? From a teacher. From a teacher. The teacher is going to help him and cultivate him and teach him and warn him and direct him from the likes of these affairs. As if he does him and himself in these major works here doing research in the likes, this is going to become dangerous for him. So he said, let him busy himself with usul al-fiqh, the fundamentals of jurisprudence and the obligations. The obligations, wallahu a'lam, what is intended here, the fara'id, yani mawarith, the rulings of the laws of inheritance. And he should know that al-fiqh, jurisprudence, is the focal point of the sciences. And this is the end of the quote. The author, he says, rahimahullah, فَهَذِهِ شَذَرَاتٌ مِنْ تَوْجِيهَاتُ الْعُلَمَ رَحِمَهُمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. This yeah, it should be a yeah with no dots. لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ وَهِيَ خُلَاصَةُ تَجَارُبِهِمْ فِي طَرِيكِ التَّعَلُمِ أهدوها لنا حفاظا على وقتنا ورعاية لتأسيسنا على المنهج القويم فلا نحد عن طريقهم لئلا يقع الخلل في معلوماتنا فتخوننا ونحن أحوج ما نكون إليها أو فتخوننا ونحن أحوج ما نكون إليها. وهي says من لن some lines of poetry من لم يشافع عالما بأصوله فيقينه في مشكلات ظنونه. So these are just some fragments from the directions of the scholars, and just some small pieces to look into. May Allah the Most High have mercy on them for the students of knowledge. It is a summarization of their experiences on the path of learning. And in these issues that have preceded, these statements from Ibn Abd al-Barr and these statements from Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, and others that he mentioned, Ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah, he says, it is a summarization of their experiences on the path of learning they have given us as a gift in preserving our time and observing the establishment of our foundations upon the upright methodology. And they're helping to establish this and protecting this affair, just as he mentioned in the introduction. Rahimahullah. So he says, this is so that we will not go away from their path to avoid error, fault, and deficiency in our knowledge and understanding whenever we are in most need of that. And that part was not translated. Whenever we are in most need of that. Whenever we are most need in that. And then he mentioned those lines of poetry. مَنْ لَمْ يُشَافِ عَلِمًا بِأُصُورِهِ فَيَقِينُهُ فِي الْمُشْكِلَاتِ غُنُونُ. That whoever did not learn the fundamentals from the lips of the scholar, whatever he has certainty in, when the problems come, now becomes doubt and suspicion. Now becomes doubt and suspicion. And meaning that he'll be tried by doubts and shubuhat in the knowledge that he's studying. Whenever the knowledge gets heavy and he steps into an arena that he has not yet studied yet or learned the principles in. If he didn't learn it from the mouths of the scholars, from the lips of the scholars, then he could be easily affected by these doubts and by these misconceptions and the likes like that. If he had learned properly in the correct manner from the correct sources, little by little, they would not affect him. But because he took another path, now he's exposed to himself to error and to fault and deficiency in his knowledge and understanding, especially whenever he is in a time of need. In a time of need, yani whenever there is a great need for that knowledge for him to understand correctly and to not have any doubts. To not have any doubts. So he says, rahimahullah, wa rahimahullahu ibn Abd al-Barr idh na'a tullab al-ilmi fi zamanihi wa aba alayhim khurujahum an tariq al-ta'allumi al-ma'rufati 'inda as-salaf. فقال وعلم رحمك الله أن طالب العلم في زماننا هذا وفي بلدنا قد حاد أهله عن طريق سلفهم وسلكوا في ذلك ما لا يعرفه أئمتهم وابتدعوا في ذلك ما بان به جهلهم وتقصيرهم عن مراتب العلماء قبلهم عن مراتب العلماء قبلهم. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. He says, may Allah have mercy on Ibn Abd al-Barr whenever he admonished the students of knowledge in his time for leaving the well-known path of learning of the Salaf. Whenever he said, you must know, may Allah have mercy on you, that seeking knowledge in this time of ours, what time was that? Before the year 463. You must know, may Allah have mercy on you. Likewise, this is a methodology, huh? Some people think that Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, that was his only way. Rahimahullah. He died in the year 1206. So, likewise, hundreds of years before him, they're using this methodology. Likewise, ya'lam rahimakallah, We have seen likewise the same methodology before Ibn Abd al-Barr and the Muqaddimah Sahih Muslim. Imam Muslim, he died in 261. So this is really a great benefit, an amazing affair. The more that you study and you read the books of the Salaf, the more that you find that their statements in issues of creed and methodology are one. You'll find the statements of creed and methodology one. Creed and methodology one. The way that he's saying it like this, this is methodology in teaching and dealing with the students. And he's ordered them to know and to draw their attention and then making dua for them and then teaching them important subjects. He is Ibn Abd al-Barr, Abu Umar Ibn Abd al-Barr al-Qurtubi. He was in Qurtuba, which is in Andalus, which is in the area of Morocco and Tunis and the likes like this. In 463. Before him, Al-Imam Muslim, he was mentioning the same methodology. The same methodology in teaching in the beginning of Sahih Muslim. He died in the year 261. Where is he from? Naysabur. He's from Naysabur, yani, which is in the area around Afghanistan and Iran today. So he's in a whole other region, in a whole other generation, in a whole other time, 100 years apart. Then you have Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab, Rahimahullah, coming in and died in the year 1206, mentioning the same methodology. And then if you read in their books, likewise, you will find them also mentioning the same way of understanding the Quran and the Sunnah and the narrations of the Salaf and taking from those who are reliable. You'll find the same thing in all of their works. Yet this one is from this land and that one is from that land. Ibn Abd al-Barr, he was Maliki, and Ibn Muslim, he was Mujtahid, Shaykh Muhammad al-Wahhabi is Hanbali, but all of them, they have the same creed. All of them, they have the same deen. All of them have the same methodology. All of them have the same way. Alhamdulillah. And like this, the people of the truth, wherever they are, whatever time they are, their statements are one in the affairs of creed. They don't differ. And their affairs of methodology, they're one. They don't differ. And issues, subsidiary issues, there's difference of opinion. Where this is allowed, raising the hands, not raising the hands, and salah, so on and so forth. These things I hear are allowed. As for in the foundation of the deen, the people, upon the truth, they have the same statements, the same ways, the same methodology. And you will find that the more you read and research into the books of the Salaf, and the books of those upon their way. And this is a great, great benefit to see. Somebody may think, for example, here's a benefit. He thinks that that benefit, he heard it from Sheikh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah. He may think that that's from Sheikh Abdul Razak. He heard it from him time and time. He starts researching, reading. He'll find that same benefit in a book by Ibn Qayyim. Come to find out, Ibn Qayyim said that. And then if you keep researching, you'll find that in another book with a chain to one of the Salaf in the early days. It wasn't even Ibn Qayyim's statement. He's just transmitting the same understanding in this manner. Their knowledge goes back to the same source. The point is, the knowledge of the people of the Sunnah that have the correct understanding goes back to the same source. So therefore, they're all in accordance. You will read one of their books from one land and from one time, from one generation in creed, and you will think that it came from the same pen, from the same tongue, from the same heart, from the same lips. But it's all this one, he lived in this time. This one, he lived 100 years later. This one, he lived 500 years later. This one, he lived in this land over here. This one, in a completely other region of the world. But what they wrote about creed is all exactly the same thing. Al-imanu qawlun wa amalun wa ittiqad yazidu wa yanqus yazidu bi ta'ati wa yanqusu bil ma'siyah. They say al-Quran kalam Allah ghayru makhluq. All of this stuff here is all exactly the same, alhamdulillah, because the truth is one, it's not two or three. One way to help to have certainty about that is by seeing the methodology of the people of knowledge and how they author their works until this day. Rahimahumullahu ta'ala. May Allah have mercy on Ibn Abd al-Barr whenever he admonished the students of knowledge in his time for leaving the well-known path of learning of the Salaf. When he said, you must know, may Allah have mercy on you, that seeking knowledge in this time of ours, in this land of ours, the people, the word would should be erased. The people have turned away from the path of their predecessors, and they have traversed upon a way not known to their imams, and have innovated in this path that which clarifies their ignorance, and they're falling short from the ranks of the scholars before them. End of quote. This is a warning. This is a warning that if you want to have success and you want to be safe from misguidance and deviation, and you want to reach the ranks of those scholars before whom Allah was pleased with, then you must follow their way in seeking knowledge. The point here is that their way in seeking knowledge is, one of the main points in their way in seeking knowledge is, at-tadarruj, little by little. little by little, taking from a teacher, little by little, following a proper arrangement and order under the guidance of somebody qualified. Under the guidance of somebody qualified. He says, وَقَدْ رَتَّبَ إِبْنُ الْجَوْزِي جَدْوَلًا لِطَالِبِ يَبْلُغُ بِهِ الْمُنْتَهَى فَقَالَ وَأَوَّلُ مَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُكَلَّفْ أي طالب العلم في سباه حفظ القرآن متقناً فإنه يثبت ويختلط باللحم والدم ثم مقدمة في النحو يعرف بها اللحن ثم الفقه مذهبا وخلافا وما أمكن بعد هذا من العلوم فحفظه حسن انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. Ibn Jawzi رحمه الله has arranged the schedule for the student for him to reach the end goal, yani for him to travel through the stages until he reached a high level in knowledge. He said, and the first thing that he should do And the first thing that he should be assigned to, and he meaning the student, whenever the student of knowledge in his childhood is memorizing the Quran precisely. In his childhood, meaning before the age of puberty, the first thing he should be assigned to and that he should be required to take care of with regards to seeking knowledge in his childhood is memorizing the Quran precisely. Because in this manner, it will become firm and it will mix with his flesh and blood. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Because in this manner, it will become firm and it will mix with his flesh and blood. It will be his life. It will be his life. He will memorize. He will memorize it and it will mix with him and it will be a part of his life, especially if the parents have great effort as well in cultivating and keeping pure and clean and taking care of his fitrah and cultivating the tawheed in his heart and the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla and clarifying the tawheed little by little according to his age. And clarifying the important verses in the Quran that he's memorized the meaning of them so that he understands a bit of what he's saying according to his age and according to his ability. Even from the very early age, the people of knowledge would advise the parents to teach teach the child the name of Allah and to point up like this, Allah, Allah, like this, and to point to the heavens so that the child, he learns from an early age the name of his Lord and that his Lord is up. That his Lord is up. And so from a, and this is something that he can figure out in an early manner, in an early age. So you start the cultivation in an early age upon the correct creed, upon the correct belief, little by little, according to the mind of the student, the mind of the child, and be diligent not to put the child in the hands of those who will corrupt him, like the Jews and the Christians and the pagans and the polytheists, which is something we're trying with in the worst manner today, with the worst and most despicable manner today. Kullu mauludin yuladu al fitra. Every child is born upon the fitra. Wa abawahu yuhawidanihi wa nasiranihi wa majisani. It's the parents that turn him to a Jew. So if his parents are a Jew, he's going to make him a Jew. If his parents are a Christian, he's going to make him a Christian. If his parents put him in the hands of the Christian for 6-7 hours a day, what's going to happen? He's going to come out pious. He's going to come out righteous. He's going to stand in, lowering his gaze and checking his tongue. That's not going to happen, Yaqi. No doubts are going to enter his heart. Nah, you can't tell somebody to jump in water and not get wet. To jump in water and not get wet, it's not possible. And one of the things that we should know in the state of Georgia, the rules and the law for homeschooling is very, very easy and facilitated, and it's not strict at all. And you can have any schedule or any syllabus that you want to make for yourself. And the requirements that is needed to fulfill the state requirement is something that, alhamdulillah, is a great blessing for those who are truthful and they love their child for the sake of Allah and they want to protect his fitrah from being corrupted. From being corrupted, something that we should think about. And the first thing he should be assigned to, meeting the student of knowledge in his childhood, is memorizing the Quran precisely, because in this manner it will become firm and it will mix with his flesh and blood. And he meaning that we want the Quran to mix with their flesh and blood. We want the Sunnah to mix with their flesh and blood. We want the child to grow up and be Salafi. We want the child to grow up and be Muslim Qawi, Iman, strong. Any muti', obedient to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what we want for our children. Many people, they say they want that, but in reality, they just want their child to have a degree, or they want their child to have a job, or they want their child to get paid, and the likes like this. And they will sacrifice the deen first and foremost in order to get that. And this is great misguidance and great failure and great treachery. Waliyadu billah, the children, they're amana, and the souls of those children are amana, and the necks of the parents, we're going to ask about them. We have to take the proper means to protect them and to protect their religion and to cultivate them upon the correct deen and the correct understanding and the correct way. So if you do that, then their religion will mix with their flesh and their blood, and they'll never leave it for nothing. They'll never leave it for nothing, inshallah. They'll never leave it for nothing, inshallah. They'll be firm and they'll be benefit for the ummah. He says, and then an introduction in grammar. learning the al-i'rab, then learning jurisprudence, a school of thought, and the difference of opinion, and whatever he is able from that, from the sciences. So memorizing that is good. End of quote. And he is mentioning here to learn a particular madhab, and then learn the difference of opinion in that madhab, and then after that, the difference of opinion of the madhab. And this is a good way. And this is a good way to learn about a madhab, and to learn according to a way of the madhab without blind following, or staunchly blind following, or rejecting the evidence that is clear, but to follow a particular madhab and learning the sciences of jurisprudence and the usul is something that is praiseworthy and something that is good and something that is beneficial in order to understand the foundations of knowledge without blind following absolutely, or declaring that madhab to be free from error, or that one, he must restrict himself to that madhab entirety and there's no mistakes in that. All of that is falsehood. But to learn jurisprudence and to learn the salat and the zakat and the sawm and the hajj, and to learn the rulings of nikah and the likes like this, based upon following the methodology laid down in one of the madhahib that are accepted from the four madhahib, then this is something that is good, along with having a truthful and sincere teacher who will clarify for you whenever the strongest position is with a madhahib or not, is with a madhahib or not. And this is the proper and the good way. This is the proper and the good way. Alhamdulillah. He says, وَيُضَافُ إِلَى ذَلِكَ النَّظْرُ فِي مَتُونِ الْحَدِيثِ وَمُصْطَلَحِهِ ليكون الفقه مبنيا على القرآن وما صح عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فيبلغ صاحبه الذروة في الفضائل في الفضائل. So the Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, in addition to this, looking into the text of the narrations and its terminology, so that the jurisprudence, the understanding, will be based upon the Quran. And he's adding this after what he mentioned about the madhahib, and to clarify again, no doubt, to learn a particular madhab of one of these imams is correct and allowed without staunchly blind following or restricting oneself to it absolutely. And in order to be safe from that, one, he will learn the narrations and his terminology so that he can identify the evidences that are authentic and the evidence that are not. So this will help him to be able to see which one of these positions is stronger, because sometimes maybe an imam will have a position in a particular issue and he'll base that position on a narration, and come to find out, if you look into the details of that narration, there's no doubt that it's weak. So therefore, the one who based a position in fiqh upon a narration that is weak, then his position is like the narration. Weak. You understand? But he strove in that and he's excused in that, but you will not follow that. You will follow the one that has a strong narration. You understand? And there's no blame in that. And this is the way of the Salaf. This is the way of the Salaf. So he says, rahimahullah, in addition to this, looking into the text of the narrations and its terminology, and that so that jurisprudence, the understanding, will be based upon the Quran, and looking into that which is authentic from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in this manner, a person, he will reach the peak of virtues. In this manner, he will reach the peak of virtues. He says, قال الشيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. The dots should be erased also. أما العلم النافع فهو العلم المزكي للقلوب فهو العلم المزكي للقلوب والأرواح المثمر لسعادة الدارين وهو ما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث وتفسير وفقه وما يعين على ذلك من علوم العربية بحسب حالة الوقت و الموضعي صح عندكم موضع أو موضوع ها موضع صح yeah, we erase the wow here والموضعي الذي فيه الإنسان. الشيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله تعالى, he says, as for the beneficial knowledge, then it is the knowledge that purifies the hearts and souls, bringing about happiness in both lives. And it is that which the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has come with from the narrations and interpretations and jurisprudence, and that which assists upon this from the sciences of the Arabic language. This is in accordance to the time and the place a person is in. The state here, we erase that, place, the time and the place a person is in. And so the arrangement, it will differ from time and place and the situation of a person. He says, وَتَعْيِينُ مَا يَشْتَغِلُ بِهِ من الكتب يختلف باختلاف الأحوال والبلدان. Identifying the books one will be busy with differs according to the different circumstances and lands. The different circumstances and lands. Somebody who lived, for example, in Morocco, then he would, it's not advised for him to begin studying the madhab of the Hanabila. Right? Because in Morocco, what is the madhab? Al-Maliki. The Madhab al-Maliki is predominant there. So the people, they've been raised upon that Madhab. They're aware of that Madhab. They know that Madhab. So in that land, they're studying the books of that particular Madhab, which is allowed and good. Which is allowed and good. If they go, for example, in Misr, you wouldn't study there the Maliki Madhab, because what's well widespread there is the Shafi'i Madhab. So one, he will learn the usul based upon this affair. Based upon this affair, and there's no blame in that. So the books they'll differ. If he's in Hijaz, if he's in Medina, if he's in Mecca and Riyadh and the likes like this, that's the Hanabila Madhab, the Madhab al-Hanbali is widespread there. So that's why you find there the books of the Hanabila are being taught there. But they're not blind following them, instantly following them. Rather, they'll mention that in this particular issue, the position of Abu Hanifa is stronger. We follow that. In this particular issue, the position of Malik is stronger. Follow that. And the likes like this. Whenever that occurs, and they'll clarify that for you, along with learning that particular book from that madhab, because it lays out the usul in a nice arranged manner. It makes it easy to go through these different chapters and understand these masail in general without blind following it absolutely. The author, he's going to mention this, something similar to this. He says, وَالْحَالَةُ تَقْرِيبِيَّ. This is still the statement of Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah. وَالْحَالَةُ تَقْرِيبِيَّ فِي نَظَرِنَا هُنَا أَنْ يَجْتَهِدَ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ في حفظ مختصرات الفن الذي يشتغل به فإن تعذر أو قصر عليه حفظه لفظا فليكرره كثيرا حتى ترسخ معانيه في قلبه ثم تكون باقي كتب الفن كالتوضيح والتفسير لذلك الأصل الذي أدركه وعرفه. It says, what will bring the idea near in our opinion? And this is also from the humbleness of the Shaykh. He's not forcing you to follow his opinion, but this is an issue of ijtihad. So in our opinion, in our lands, and in his time, he's saying, rahimahullah, that what we think will make it easy for the student and draw this knowledge near to him is that the student of knowledge will strive to memorize a summarized text of the science that he's busy studying. Whatever science that is, he will strive to memorize a summarized text. He says, rahimahullah, if that is not possible, or he is not able to memorize it word for word, then let him repeat it often, over and over, until its meanings are set deep into his heart. Until his meaning, the meanings of that summarized text sink deep into his heart. Then the rest of the books of this science will be like clarification and an interpretation of this principle or this fundamental that he has comprehended and learned. So he will choose in the science of fiqh a small text that is relying upon in a particular madhab that he's studying. He'll memorize that. He'll memorize that, and he'll memorize it word for word precisely if he can. If his memorization is not strong enough to do that, he'll recite it over and over and over so that it's almost as if he memorized it. Maybe not word for word, but the ideas of that and the arrangement of that text, the ideas that are contained there, the masail and the arrangement is in his heart. It's ingrained in him, but he just didn't memorize it word for word. But whenever it comes time to recall it, he'll remember this issue comes before that one and that one comes before this one. He'll even remember some of the expressions that are most important, so on and so forth. So it's as if it's memorized. It's not memorized like it should be or the best manner, but this is still a good way. So one, he will memorize it properly, precisely, if he can, and if not, he'll repeat it over and over and over till it's as if it's memorized, till it's as he has a visual idea of the arrangement and the contents of that summarized text. And then every other book that he studies in that science after that is like detailed explanation for that, bringing light and shedding light on that. So this part here, he has it with him wherever he goes. Then whenever he studies the science, whether with a teacher or in a class, or he listens to the audio or listens to the recording or researches and reads in a book himself of the bigger books, all those other issues, they go back to here. And our clarification for this, and he already understood that. So in this manner, he'll have a base to stand and to work with. He have a base to stand on and to work with in this science. And then whenever he moves on to another science, he does the same thing in the same manner, and this will help him to learn quickly and to benefit properly, and to have a strong foundation and knowledge, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So he says, فَلَوْ حَفِظَ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ. Now he's mentioning some details, rahimahullah. الْعَقِيدَةَ الْوَاسِطِيَّةِ لِشَيْخِ الْإِسْلَامِ بْنِ تَيْمِيَّةِ وَثَلَاثَةَ أُصُولِ وَكِتَابَ التَّوْحِيدِ الشَّيْخ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ عَبْدُ الْوَهَابِ rahimahumullah. If the student of knowledge were to memorize Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and the three principles in the book of At-Tawheed by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, wa fi al-fiqh mukhtasar al-dalil wa mukhtasar al-muqni', and in jurisprudence mukhtasar al-dalil and mukhtasar al-muqni'. Mukhtasar al-dalil, this is called Dalil al-Talib, and mukhtasar al-muqni', this is called Zad al-Mustaqni'. زاد المستقنع. Inshallah, we continue after the prayer. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.